Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation this morning is written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, the second chapter, verses 1 and 2 and 7 through 9. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it arose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. This is our text. That's quite a story, that story of the wise men leaving their homeland to travel to Jerusalem and Bethlehem to find the child whom they declared to be the one born king of the Jews. They said to Herod they came to worship him. It's an absolutely amazing story. In fact, it's kind of so amazing it almost doesn't seem real, even though the prophet Isaiah told us that this very thing was going to happen one day. We see the wise men, they ride into Jerusalem with at the beginning of the Christmas story, and they ride out again, and they leave us with more questions than answers. Where'd they come from? How long was their journey? Who were Magi, really? And how many of them made that journey that day? Even though their part in the Christmas story is relatively short, they do have much to teach us, and perhaps can even be a source of inspiration for us. For example, the big question is, how did they know the meaning of the star and the child who was to be born king of the Jews? There was only one place they could have gotten that information, and that was in the pages of the Bible. Then you add to that story that these men were non-Jews. They were Gentiles, and they lived far away from the land of the Jews. So now the next question comes, how in the world did they get a copy of the Old Testament scriptures? It's another question we can't answer. All we can say for sure is that they did have a copy of the Old Testament. And from where they, how they acted and reacted, they obviously made good use of that Old Testament. They didn't certainly roll up the scrolls and put them in the closet with the rest of their scrolls. And they just didn't leave it laying on their coffee table to gather dust. They read the scrolls. And even more importantly, they studied what they read. They put their heart and soul into discovering what the meaning of these revelations from God were, what they meant. And they felt this hope growing in their hearts. Throughout their studies, the Holy Spirit was at work through the words of those scrolls. And he was showing them, he was teaching them about the coming of a Messiah, one who would save his people, one who would be born king of the Jews. And the Holy Spirit led them to understand that the promises of God of that coming Savior was for one purpose, to redeem all people from the consequences of their sins. All people, not just Jews, but Gentiles as well. And the more they studied, the more the Spirit revealed to them things they were to look for that would signify to them that this child had been born. Specifically, to look for a star, a new star in the heavens, that would be the sign to them that the Savior had been born. But even more was happening as those wise men studied the scriptures. Through their reading and studying, saving faith was being born in their hearts. So like all of God's people, they were ready and they were waiting for that sign that would tell them the promised Messiah had come for all people. And then one night, as they were gazing up into the heavens, they saw the new star. And as soon as they saw that new star, they knew what it meant. The King of the Jews had been born. The Savior was born. Their Savior had been born. There was no question about what they were going to do now. They had to go. They had to find him. They had to bring him precious gifts. They had to go and worship him. For the word had revealed to them that this king who had just been born was their Savior. They didn't care how long the journey would be. Didn't give any thought to how dangerous this trip might be. All they knew was they had to go. They had to find the child. Their love compelled them to go. And so they went. And they searched until they found him. And then with joy, they knelt before him and offered him their precious gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's an unbelievable story. But I think those four wise men have, that we don't know how many there were. There are four lessons that these wise men can teach us, I think. The first lesson would be this. The importance of God's people being in the Word, of reading the Word, of studying the Word, of meditating on that Word of God. And the first thing that happens when we read and study and meditate on that Word is that the Holy Spirit goes to work in our hearts and minds. And the more we read, and the more we study, and the more we think about what we have read, the more the Holy Spirit works to help us understand and believe the promises of God to us. Through the Word, the Spirit creates saving faith in our hearts. But then he goes to work to nurture and to strengthen that faith. Through the Word, the Holy Spirit is at work, equipping us to live the faith and empowering us to show forth the faith. Through that Word, he makes us rich in every spiritual blessing as God pours out into our hearts and lives gift upon gift of his grace. Over and over again, God tells us, if we want to be bold, if we want to be fearless, if we want to be fully equipped, if we want to put on the full armor of God, if we want to be empowered, if we want to be successful, than we need to be in the Word. Just think for a minute what the wise men would have missed if they had just rolled up the scrolls and stuck them in a closet somewhere. And then imagine what God wants to reveal to us every time we are in the Word. The second thing the wise men want to teach us about this morning is commitment. Once they saw that star, once they realized that it was the fulfillment of a prophecy of God, they were totally committed to that journey to the Christ child. They didn't care how long the journey would be. They didn't care how dangerous it might be. It didn't matter. They knew only one thing. They knew what was waiting for them at the end of that journey. And so they went, and they traveled, and they endured, and they finally arrived in Bethlehem to the house where the child was. They were willing to risk everything and face any danger just for the joy of seeing their Savior. Kind of like the wise men, we too are on a journey. We know what awaits us. When we get to the end of our journey, we too will see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And like the wise men, our journey too may be long. And at times it may even be difficult. And sometimes it might even be dangerous. But we are committed because we know what awaits us at the end of our walk of faith. Eternal life with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Where do we find the strength to make that kind of a commitment? In the reading and studying of God's Word. First, there we see the depth of the commitment God made to us. He committed His only Son to us. Jesus committed His life to us. He committed Himself to bearing the sins of the world. He committed Himself to death on a cross. Just because He loved us. And when we see and understand the depth of God's commitment to us, it inspires us, it enables us, it empowers us to also walk the walk of faith through the dark wilderness of this world, all the way to our eternal home, knowing for certain that the good that God has begun in us, He will bring to completion. And not one of us will be lost along the way. We will arrive at our heavenly home. And as Paul tells us, there is nothing in all of creation that can ever prevent us from taking possession of our eternal home. The third lesson the wise men want to teach us is one of worship. There was a reason for their journey, one purpose. They were going to worship the Christ child. They were going to honor Him as Lord and Savior. They were going to praise Him as their King. Well, I guess that's three reasons, isn't it? To worship Him, to honor Him, and to praise Him. So whether it's three reasons that kind of wrap up in one or one reason that shows itself in three ways, nothing was going to prevent these men from finding and worshiping the Christ child. How important is worship to us? How committed are we to being here every Sunday? I know we can all come up with all kinds of excuses as to why we can stay away. But there really are very few reasons why we can't come to worship. These 2 or 3 hours on Sunday morning should be the most important hours of the week. we should allow very little to interfere with these hours. The fourth lesson the wise men teach us is the offering of precious gifts. In their case, it was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What is precious gift is God looking for from us? Really only one. He wants our love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul. Well, there we have that three in one thing again. One love and three parts to that love. But the point of it all, that God wants us to love him first and foremost. And there's one easy way for us to show that love that we have for God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What that means is we want to make sure we come to worship every Sunday. We want to make sure we attend Holy Communion every Sunday. We want to make sure that we stay for Sunday school and Bible class every Sunday. Remember the wise men. You never know what you're going to miss if you're not in the Word. Remember, these few hours a week have been set aside for this one purpose, and for this one purpose alone: to love the Lord our God, to show that love to him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our soul. It's the least we can do for all that he has done for us. Now, some good news and bad news. The title of our meditation was, or is, Light from His Star. We haven't quite gotten to the light part yet. That's the bad news. But just remember those cliffhanger TV shows from long ago that encouraged you to tune in next week for the exciting conclusion to our story. I guess that's what I'm asking you to do this morning, to tune in next week for the exciting conclusion to the light from his star. And that's the good news. Amen. We rise.